This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We've all heard this story before. A local band makes a name for themselves and then eventually sells out Madison Square Garden only to have their music plastered all over the ads for Applebee's and Prilosec, and it's at that point in which an old man without any music taste declares that this is rock and roll. Welcome to Fantasy NBA Today podcast, a sports ethos presentation hosted by yours truly, Aaron Brewski, and FSWA Hall of Famer Steve Dr. A. Alexander, today we are talking about overrated fantasy players, and the story is largely the same. And to help make sense of this analogy, which may or may not make sense, I bring in the godfather of fantasy hoops, Steve Alexander, but he's also the resident music expert of Fantasy NBA Today. Are you willing to dish on who you might have as your most overrated musical act? And if you want to give me two, the one that you think is just the most overrated, period, but also the one that, you know, they were really good, but then they got too big of a name, and then their name got bigger than their game. Do you want to dish on any of your friends that might be listening to the show?
I'm not going to diss on my friends because they are in cool bands. But I will say that Aerosmith has always been super overrated, in my opinion. Anything they did after 1985, I don't ever want to hear, ever. And that feel like U2 got a little too big and just kind of became... they went from being an indie darling, like, who I discovered U2, I'm a U2 fan, to the cover of Time magazine, and like U2 fans are like, what is going on? This is not really what I signed up for.
I want to hear you on a music podcast, man. I feel like you've forgotten more today than most people know about the music industry, music in general, and good music. You turned me on to so much good music. Did you know, Steve, that like my iPhone will just, like, when I get in my car, it just starts playing music from my phone, and I'll get like some Sebado or Malcolmus or what was a couple others that you, I don't even remember. You got me on to all this good stuff, and I don't even know if those are the good examples, but they just turned on, and I go, oh, thank you, Steve. It's great stuff. BetOnline is your number one source for all of your summer sports this season. I know, great transition there. MLB to golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. Get all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams, and also get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport there is. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get into the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. I wish you were on a music podcast, sir. Have you thought of that? Have any of your buddies reached out and said, hey, let's do this?
I've been on several. And I have music people on my podcast occasionally. But yeah, dude, I love talking about music. I could talk about music all day. And in fact, when I was locked in that condo with those dudes from Indianapolis all weekend in Louisville, Jay was in charge of the music, and he only listens to like 80s crap. And it got a little rough. Like, when Madonna Borderline came on while we were playing cards, I had to draw a line. I had to say something. They're like, dude, come on.
So nobody said anything prior to that. You guys were all great friends that didn't speak up. I don't know if other people are friends.
I think they're just used to it. They just let it slide. I don't ever let anything slide.
Yeah, well, that's a good problem to have, and I'm very similar in that regard. Aerosmith, I wonder, because I was pretty young in the 80s, not very young, but pretty young, and I remember all of their kind of in the Run DMC era stuff. It was that stuff you were like, I don't want to listen to this, you know, that whole section of their discography.
The Run DMC Walk This Way collaboration was sort of like, that was sort of like the pinnacle of, that was like the last hurrah before grunge took over the world. Like, that was like the peak of hip hop and like all those early rap bands, L Cool J and Beastie Boys and all that. Like, that was sort of like, they were peaking at that time. And then Aerosmith was making their big comeback because they had Dream On and Walk This Way and all these other hits. I mean, they had a greatest hits album just from their songs from the 70s. And then in the 80s, they were sort of reborn by that collaboration with Run DMC. And it was sort of everything after that I really did not enjoy. Pink and Jamie's Got a Gun and Dude Looks Like a Lady and All that stuff.
I forgot about that.
All that nonsense.
Like and Follow the Elevator. Show. Oh yeah, that was like the first Aerosmith song that I heard as a kid. And there was a part where there was a lady dancing in a door, I think, and I thought to myself, "Oh my god, that lady's not wearing any clothes." I think I was 7. Yes. Like and Follow the Show. Give us feedback. You know, every now and then we're going to go on a riff. It's, you know. It's, first of all, it's not the middle of the season, guys. We don't need to mainline the ads and drops into your veins in May. So enjoy it. We love talking with each other. We love talking with you guys. We do plan on having a much more interactive piece of this show as we build it out. We have several plans to bring the show to the proverbial next levels with all the latest bells and whistles that you could ever imagine. And bringing in all of the talent from around the fantasy universe and beyond even. So we've got all those plans, but we want to get your feedback on how things are going. If you have topics you want us to cover, tweet us, tweet at Dr. A, D-O-C-K-T-O-R-A, at Aaron Bruski, A-A-R-O-N-B-R-U-S-K-I. And then the like and subscribe thing is just something that if you don't say it, you're just like losing. And so we all have to just come out here and bark like carnival barkers. The Aerosmith of fantasy basketball is who, Steve?
Oh, I don't know. Who is it?
All right, let's go. This has been a pod. We'll see you later.
Let's figure it out.
You know, I had a list that I made because I like to make lists, right? And there was a name that wasn't on the list. And when you said, "Is he on the list?" I laughed. I was like, I looked at it and I didn't put him on the list. But he might actually, maybe... I mean, looking at this list, if there was an Aerosmith of fantasy basketball, Joel Embiid might kind of, he's been around as long as Aerosmith. You know, you kind of got to be around a long time to be like Aerosmith. I don't know how long we want to continue this analogy, but Joel Embiid.
A lot of people like Aerosmith, so they're going to be like, these guys are idiots.
Who likes Aerosmith?
Aerosmith is great. Even though Steven Tyler looks like your grandmother.
Hey, you've been talking with my grandmother.
Joel Embiid, dude, is to the point where Philadelphia 76ers fans, Philadelphia 76ers players, Philadelphia 76ers management and ownership, and fantasy managers all across the world are like, this guy is never going to stay healthy for us. He did one year, and that was last year, not this past season, the one before that. But that's it. That's the only time and Philadelphia did not win at all with him fully healthy. And I think Philadelphia's window is closing so fast. Joel Embiid, 46 games last year. Joel Embiid, 46 games every year except two seasons ago. Yeah, I just think if you are a fantasy manager and you've had Joel Embiid on your team before, you're probably in a no, I'm not doing that again situation, because it's not a scoring category, but having guys who play every night is just as important as the scoring categories that your league plays with.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I mean, it's funny, almost as you were saying that, I'm sitting there thinking, is it the case that everybody who's drafted Joel Embiid didn't draft him before? And then in this last year, yeah, he had the one good year the year before, like that maybe erased a little bit, but everybody's drafted this guy. Not everybody. I don't think I've ever drafted him. I have to like look and see if that's actually a true statement.
You know what?
Like,
I don't think I've ever had him either.
Now that I had the thought, I'm actually like kind of tripping. Like you'd think at least at one point that would have happened.
You know, when I did draft
like
him, I drafted him for that
200 teams.
I drafted him this year in a league that we were helping sick kids. We were ESPN fantasy experts helping sick children learn about fantasy basketball and learn about fantasy sports. So we all got together and had a draft with these children. And I drafted Joel Embiid for this kid's team. And the very next day, it was announced he was out for a season. I'm like, okay.
First of all, I was like a roller coaster of thoughts there. That's amazing that you guys are doing that, by the way. I did not know you guys are doing that. And kudos to all of you guys for helping some sick kids out. That's great. Joel Embiid is kind of dead money, which... You know, yeah, one time he hit. I guess that's the opposite.
Even then, I think he only played in 66 games.
Well, and that's kind of where the devil's in the details there is, yeah, those 66 games were potent. But, I mean, what is it? 1 out of 8? 1 out of 10? I don't know. How many seasons did Joel Embiid got under his belt? Like
16-17 was his rookie year. So it looks like 8.
Yeah, like 8. So you spun the wheel and you hit once out of every 8 times on your high, your number one draft pick, most likely. It's what the whole premise behind overvalued fantasy players really is like. To me, it's like, what is the public saying about these guys? You know, where is he going in drafts? You know, is everybody believe he's better than he was? Like, I'll say this about Luka, right? Until he hit his free throws, I mean, yeah, you could have been punting those things, but the public, even in an 8-cat kind of like roto draft, you know, it was almost a guarantee he would go top 3. The next name on my list, Giannis Antetokounmpo, like. You're paying top 3 prices until like the last year or two, maybe, you know, to get him. And he's even in a nine cat league, I would see him going, you know, top three. And, you know, as we've discussed in previous episodes, and we'll just discuss again right now, you know, Giannis is getting you top 30 value unless you're punting. And then in this case this year, though, he played 73 games. I thought he was an injury risk pretty much all season long. So you didn't even get a stress-free 73 games. You got a little bit of, you know, on the injury report every game kind of a deal. But yeah, Joel Embiid, I mean, it feels like everybody's just sort of got him as a lock for a first round pick. And that's not really the way that it's panned out. So yeah, my vote is overrated. I don't know if he's Aerosmith. Aerosmith had a lot of hits. Joel Embiid has one hit. He's like a one hit wonder. He's Vanilla Ice. That Joel Embiid. I'm being mean today. I need some coffee. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, I'm not drafting Joel Embiid. That's all I got. I mean, I'm going to let somebody else do it.
How about this? Karl Anthony Towns. How are you on Cat? I know you just had like a pretty good game in game seven. It feels as if his kind of basketball image has been rehabilitated somehow with Minnesota advancing. It feels like it went in the tank a couple times there during the series. But, you know, Cat, I mean, yes, he's playing next to Rudy Gobert. That's not great for him. But I don't know. Where was he drafted in fantasy leagues this year? Like mid-second?
Early second? Late, anywhere from late first to mid-second, I would say. Or anywhere from late first to late second, really. And just, I think it depended on the league and how much people read and how much people were scared of Cat getting hurt. I mean, he has an injury history that's sort of lengthy. But I do like him better in situations where there's not a lot on the line. Like, I like him in regular season games when stuff really doesn't matter as much. And, you know, his games played list is a little bit like Joel Embiid's, but
lately. I mean, yeah. He was known for, he didn't miss a game for the first 4 years of his career.
Yeah, he only missed a few during that stretch. Then he went 35. 50, 74, 29, 62. So he missed 20 games this year.
That knee issue is not great. I mean, it looked like he hurt it again in game seven.
Yeah.
Kept playing. Not that big. It's obviously not going to keep him off the floor. I wonder with him if the conditioning can turn the other direction. If he can really, truly... And I don't know, maybe it's just the way he runs. Sometimes people have this little funny way that they run. Like he kind of runs like he's like on a Sunday jog. Does he like his thumbs in his underneath his armpits? Running.
Well, if he doesn't get motivated to figure out a way to play more games now that his team is in the Western Conference Finals for next year, if he doesn't find a way to play more games next year, then I give up. But I do like his free throw shooting. I do like his 3-point shooting. I like a lot of things about Cat's game. Hopefully he feels the love from Minnesota and is like, okay, I need to be better. I cannot be missing games. I got to find a way to stay on the court. Because really
still call him overrated.
Yeah. I think he is.
I got a spicy one here. I got a couple spicy ones here. This is going to be a spicy episode. I threw Trae Young on here. And I've had Trae Young ranked highly in the past. I think 2 years ago, I stupidly put him at like 3-8 cat. And the efficiency wasn't there for him. So he wasn't able to, you know, he had 45% of his shots the year before. And then only hit like 42 or something the year after that. I think people hear Trae Young and they just think like this guy's easily a first rounder. Yeah, the DeJounte Murray stuff, I think, took a little of the shine off. And I'm pretty sure, what did Trey go in, like, kind of the top 15 picks in most formats this last year?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I don't think people think of him as first round pick anymore. I think we were there a couple years ago. That whole,
I wonder if he lands in LA.
I don't know.
Like,
I think he's going to land somewhere.
Like, if you're Atlanta, I mean, so much weird stuff has gone on with that organization. I mean, between ownership and now Landry Fields is running things, and you just don't know. Why do you bring in DeJounte Murray and then basically put him right back out on the trade block? The two games don't really complement each other. I mean, it felt like there maybe it could have, but, you know, there's just a lot there that's not working. So I don't know. I think, like, especially if we're talking like a dynasty situation, you know, dynasty fantasy GMs are kind of looking at their teams right now, getting ready for rookie drafts and trying to figure out what's what, you know, and you probably, if you're hanging on to Trey, you're going, you know, there was an injury that happened and that really killed his value. So, you know, maybe it was just that. And like, what would you do if you were holding on to Trey Young right now? And I kind of think I would want to get going, because if he lands in LA, which is just one of the rumors, you know, he would be playing next to LeBron. Theoretically, he would be playing next to Anthony Davis. Would he have the license to take all of those crazy shots? And then who knows? You could play the other side of the argument and say, if he's not taking all those crazy shots, does he get up in over 45%? Does his fantasy game clean up? You know, does he just become more efficient and maybe even have as many shots, just get better shots? So I don't know. It was a name that I came across and I thought, maybe this guy is overrated and he's a big name. Are you ready to call him overrated?
Well, I think in terms of fantasy, I mean, you get what you pay for. I mean, 26 points, 11 assists. Not a ton of steals, no blocks, not many rebounds, tons of threes. And then he's a good free throw shooter, and his field goal percentage is sub 45, but it's not killer. It's not going to kill you. So he's really a pretty, generally speaking, a safe fantasy player. I feel like he's better in fantasy than he is in reality. And, you know, the Hawks brought DeJounte Murray in to sort of give them a second option at point guard, because they got bum rushed in the playoffs a couple years ago. And I can't even remember the team now with all these new games going on, but somebody double teamed Trae Young and just shut him down in the playoffs. I think it was the Heat, to the point where he couldn't do anything. And Trae Young was really bad in those playoffs. They're like, okay, we'll bring DeJounte Murray in. That way, if Trae gets double teamed, he just kicks it out to DeJounte. It's all fine. Well, that experiment has failed miserably. And I think when Trae Young does land on a new team, wherever that is, he's going to have new life, new blood. He's going to feel like Kyrie Irving in Dallas. Like, he's loved again, because he does not feel loved in Atlanta. He feels the opposite. You know that better than anybody. He feels the opposite of that. And that's half of his problem, I think, is he's never not been universally loved before. And, you know, the whole Luka draft day trade is hanging over his head. Now you have Hawks fans like, oh, I want to keep DeJounte Murray and get Trae Young out of here. He hears that stuff. He knows. And so he's miserable. And I think once he lands on a new team, he'll have new life, and we'll see a much better version of Trae Young when that happens.
I love these kind of, like, I mean, this is not just a random scenario we're throwing out that may not ever happen. I mean, it's very real that Trae Young might not be in Atlanta going forward. you know, how that looks is going to take its twists and turns over the off season here. But, you know, big name like that, and really just trying to figure out, like, is this motivational angle actually going to be the thing? We just literally saw it pay off with Kyrie Irving. So I love having that conversation right there. I'm going to ask you about your list, Steve, because I got a bunch of names and we're not going to get to them all here today. But what other names you got on your list over there?
Lauri Markkanen. At the beginning of this last season, he got drafted in one of our leagues and Kamo was like, up, shut down by March. And he was kind of right. I think Markkanen played in 55 games. Markkanen has been fantastic the last two seasons. There's no doubt about it. But that Utah team is just a tank fest. And I don't know.
It almost wasn't like that, though. They lost like something like 14 games in a row in February, I want to say. Like, you're right. No, you were right. You are right. And Kamla, this is why I hate playing against guys like Kamla, who got these kind of in the league connections and they could kind of see the forest through the trees. It's like he knows. Just, yep, shut down. Not going to go there. And they did that. And it did feel almost organizational in a sense, like as they were just good one day and not good, but, you know, treading water and then terrible.
Well, and that and sounds like that Markkanen. Easy. That sounds like Markkanen, too, because he was terrible one day. And then suddenly he was like an all-star the last 2 years. But he comes with a price. He was shut down early. And so I have him on the list. I mean, he's good, but he's had trouble staying healthy throughout his entire career. I think that's the point. So Markkanen, Walker Kessler, can we even call him overrated anymore? I mean, after that, a disastrous season.
I mean, that was why he didn't make it on my list is, I mean, it felt like he just had never had that overrated part. You know, it's like it happened too fast. I think people were like, oh, crap, this guy's just killing it. The last season, previous season. And then he got hyped up during drafts. I was on the same. I mean, I didn't get him virtually anywhere, so I'm happy. I don't think I went up above and beyond. And I don't think we got hurt by him. Thankfully. It was close though. Cause I didn't just like summarily dismiss him. I wasn't, you know, fading him by any means. I was right in the middle where I'm not going to get a player. And you know, we talked about him on a previous pod, but like if your value is in a couple of different categories and you're not getting it there, man, that's a recipe for disaster. I know that's something I'm going to be incorporating more and more into my stuff is really honing in. If you're a one trick pony, like is that trick really good? And it wasn't. Maybe some injury stuff there. Who else you got on your list, sir?
And then there's Paolo Banchero, which if you look at the numbers, 22.9 points, 7.1 rebounds, 5.3 assists, 46% shooting, 73% from the free throw line. You look at those numbers, they don't seem terrible, but then you look at the 0.6 blocks and the 0.9 steals. Combined with the poor free throw shooting, he turns it over 3.2 times per game. And that all equated out to around 13 fantasy value, according to Basketball Monster. Banchero did not feel like a 13th round player to me all year long. So I take all this ranking stuff with a grain of salt. But there's also something to it. And the numbers aren't bad, but they're not great either. And I think he's a better player in real life than he is in fantasy.
Yeah, the numbers, it's funny. Like if you dive deeper into the math of this stuff, it does come back to some kind of broad, like it matters, but it also doesn't matter. And it's really specific to your league. Like, so let's say turnovers and free throws, you know, are his poor spot and, you know, lack of three pointers or whatever. But like if it didn't hurt you in your league, for whatever reason, let's just say it was either a punt strategy or maybe the distance between yourself and the other competitors only cost you one roto point for whatever reason. Well, guess what? He was great everywhere else. So these ranks, they are, you know, a guidepost. Yeah, in a vacuum, those are the numbers. It is what it is. But I think what we're seeing in fantasy is a true exploitation of the whether or not something really hurts or not, or really helps or not. And I think that's where on the cutting edge of fantasy folks are living. Paolo, great talent. I would love to see him diversify his game and be a little less jump shooty with that size and frame, but an amazing player. I want to go to a topic that's probably very spicy. And I know you're on the other side of it on the second name here. But in Houston, Jalen Green has, I mean, he had the high draft pick status. He, you know, had kind of carte blanche. He could take as many shots as he wanted. And forever, it was just like, hey, man, this Jalen Green's like the next whoever. And he was going really high in drafts. And it hasn't really, you know, panned out per se for him. You know, the fantasy stat set just isn't great for him in certain respects. And I kind of thought that you might notice I'm trailing off here. I'm trying to get my stats on the page here, but I kind of thought that he's just this guy where the name is bigger than the game, and that it was just kind of brutally obvious. And I just stayed away in drafts. And last year, 42.3%. shooting from the field and just 1.1 combined steals and blocks. Everything else is perfectly fine. I mean, you can quibble with certain things. And really, these numbers from this season, he finished in the top 90, barely, not really, 92, in 9-cat formats, and probably the same in 8-cat formats, on the strength of 82 games played. So he played every game. It feels like people just kind of said, hey, this guy's really good. He gets the ball all the time. We're going to just draft the crap out of him. And I've always stayed away. He actually got a boost this year when Alperen Şengün went out. He's the second name on this list for me. Now, Şengün was tearing it up, you know, all season long until that injury. And then the injury dropped him into, I don't have that written in front of me. I guess I can get that. Finished top 80 in 63 games. So obviously, if he plays another 10 ball games, that's going to be kind of where he was drafted. And that's kind of my thing with Şengün, is I think people, like, first of all, kind of threw a party when he was doing kind of where his ADP was, where he was drafted at, the numbers he was getting. I think people were throwing a party for getting a player at his ADP. And at the same time, watching him play offensively, man, this dude's got skills. He's got strength. He's just running the offense through him. And it, what a perfect scenario it was for him in Houston to have, you know, a new coach, Ime Udoka, come in, like basically chew him out every game, you know, tell him he can't do all the stuff he was doing in the previous seasons, and surround him with great defensive players. I mean, Houston looked for real in the first half of the season. So I think like this hype train behind Şengün really, really grew. I'm just not convinced that this grows into, you know, like the next Domantas Sabonis. And anybody who's followed my Twitter feed knows what I feel about Domantas Sabonis in terms of his defensive game, his value in relation to his contract, and you know, what it's going to do to limit the Kings going forward. So Jalen Green's the easy discussion. I think, you know, people could have an opinion one way or another on how good he is, but, you know, fantasy wise, it hasn't been great, I would say, for him. But Şengün's the spicy topic. So what do you think when you hear Şengün possibly being overvalued? Are you just like, get out of here, Brew? That's crazy.
Well, as far as Jalen Green goes, his second half, you know, post All-Star break, his numbers were a lot better. And he kind of blew up. Like you said, I think it was related to Şengün getting hurt. So I think the jury for me is still out on Jalen Green. I don't really know if he's overrated or not. I think he was for the first half of last season. Like, he put up some pretty bad games. And the numbers were just okay. But I thought he blossomed, or at least came on the second half of the season. And also, what happens when Fred VanVleet is out of the way and Jalen gets to take over? I don't know. But jury's still out on him. As far as Şengün goes, I think you're crazy.
I love it.
I think Şengün is the next Nikola Jokic. I think next year he's going to blow up and fully break out. And I mean, he pretty much blew up this year. He was very good for most of the season. He didn't get hurt, got shut down. That hurt. But man, I love Şengün, and I will keep going back to that well for now.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I so love this. I can't stand shows where the people just constantly agree with each other. It's like a pet peeve of mine. And it's funny, I do a show with my buddy Kaz, and we actually constantly agree with each other. So when we get these points of disagreement, we just love it because, you know, we both see the game the same way. And Şengün, like, legitimately cannot be covered at this young age. What is he, 20 years old right now? His strength is off the charts. And then you factor in the skill that he plays with. My biggest thing is I just don't know if he's going to get to the Jokic level of defense. Jokic to me is, I mean, he's so underrated defensively because he's long arms and his, I mean, for all the criticism that guy has taken through the years of not being in shape, and he was definitely fat at times early on. I mean, the criticism is definitely legit, but then he got into this game shape where you're just watching him run up and down the floor and outwork the other team's center. The other team's center might be small and swift. And he's still outworking them. And those long arms combined with the knowledge of the game. And that's another thing I see with Şengün that I'm not quite sold on is I think offensively he sees everything. And I think defensively he's just not there yet. Can he get there? Well, look, you got Ime Udoka. You got Fred VanVleet. Dylan Brooks. Talk about a perfect scenario for that team to both improve. And the Dylan Brooks stuff was really interesting because I thought he was dead to rights in Memphis. He looked overweight. He looked unhappy, pissed off. I mean, he was just clobbering guys in the head for no reason in the Western Conference Finals, you know, just really looking like a bad basketball player. And for Canada, he was in this great shape. He just jumped off the page. It felt like offensively, defensively, he was just a brand new player. Gets into Houston, starts doing it right away. Fred VanVleet right away, just installing that culture. And if you've got defenders on the perimeter that can do that, you're seeing it a little bit in Minnesota where you can pair these heavier footed big men behind that perimeter defense and make it work. I just wonder, does Şengün have the length and the height and the lateral quickness as, you know, he's a really strong dude. I almost think he's going to have to call up DeMontis Sabonis and say, hey, can I get on your workout program? Because Sabonis has kind of gone from I want bulk and muscle to I know I'm slow, so I need to be as fast as humanly possible, and everything's geared toward that. Can he do that? And if he can, then I think you're right and I'm wrong. If he can't, I think then you're going to see a little bit of a fade here, and he won't get that extra gear that fantasy GMs are pretty much, I guarantee. I mean, what do you think Şengün goes and drafts next year? Like top 30, top 20 question mark?
I feel like he is a, third round pick.
I think it'll be top 25.
I feel like he's a third round pick. So 25 to 35, I think is where he's going to go. And he doesn't block shots. Like he's less than, I mean, he was 0.9 the first 2 years and he was down to 0.7.
You know what's crazy? I think he can block shots. I think he's got this crazy, like, it's almost like he's always in chase mode because he's getting beaten, but his timing on a chase down block and then even his leaping ability with the chase down block, I'm not even ready to call him dead to rights on that blocks number.
And he also is not shooting or making three-pointers very often, which if he's going to be Jokic, he needs to start blocking a ton of shots and shooting threes. But he's 21 years old. He's 6'11", 240. I've seen him block shots. Like, the skill is there. Like, the ability is there. He just hasn't done it yet. But I think, you know, he's 3 years in now. We're going to see him take some big steps forward this coming year. And I'll draft him in the third round all day in fantasy and not really worry about it.
My goodness, we're going to be talking about this for a while. 69% from the foul line. And I think during his early push, I want to say he was closer to like 75. It looked like he might be turning the corner on that. And that's going to be a big one. And that's where you could see a Luka-like jump. You know, if he's going to, you know, figure out the foul line and he starts shooting 80% from the foul line or 75, 76, 78, you know, that's going to knock him up multiple rounds, especially at the volume of free throws that he's going to be taking. So spicy, overrated. Steve says no. I say he's overrated at this point in time. I want to see that he can earn it on the defensive side, and Ime Udoka is going to hold him accountable. And that's one thing that's really interesting about that team is right now they've made a decision prior to the injury to run through him and see what they've got there. And the results were with two really good perimeter defenders and a pretty solid team around him. They were kind of middling. So you're going to see if you can get more out of that this year. But if that defensive equation doesn't tip over into their favor, maybe that's when you start to see them look and kind of feel out for other directions that they can go. If that's the case, we'll see it then. Until then, I think it's going to be all Alpi all the time. And I will probably be on the wrong side of that discussion, at least temporarily. And then we'll see after that. Let's see here. Let's do one more before we get out of here. I got... Unless you got one that's jumping off the page for you here, I have a bunch of names that are kind of well-known, overvalued guys. How about RJ Barrett? RJ Barrett was stuck with Julius Randle in New York. They're kind of like carbon copies of each other in certain ways. And then he got kicked over to Toronto. Had a really productive stint. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But it was productive, and then he had some tragedy hit personally. So that and the kind of the thud that was the Toronto Raptors season kind of hid the fact that, you know, maybe there's something good here. But isn't he a guy that kind of has perennially been somebody that, you know, people are always drafting him, and it's like, well, man, he's like in the top 250 or something. He's in the top 150 barely because of his poor fantasy peripherals. Do you think he's an overvalued fantasy player at this stage of his career?
He's probably drafted a little too early every time, yes. I mean, RJ Barrett just... he's one of those guys...
I'm going to get nichey with this.
He shows up on SportsCenter. You see him in the highlights. You're like, oh, man, he's pretty good. He's on my fantasy team. But the numbers just don't. They don't add up. And he's one of those guys that ends up doing almost as much harm as he does good to your fantasy lineup, at least thus far through his career.
Yeah, I kind of wonder with if Toronto is a good landing spot for him and if he can turn the corner. Now, I don't know if the fantasy stat set's going to change. I wanted to get niche-y as we get into the later portions of the show. We're trying to keep these shows a little quick. You know, it's the attention span, you know. Everybody's got the attention span of a ferret on crack these days. So, you know, we're going to do our best to fall in line with where humanity's heading on all of this stuff. There are a bunch of other names on my list. I don't think I'm going to get to them because I want to wrap this show up. Tomorrow, Wednesday, we're going to start back in on team recaps. I mean, we could have thrown Jordan Poole on this list, but I don't know. I didn't want to taint the player pool with his name. I don't know why he's become such a flashpoint and everybody's just, I didn't get hurt by Jordan Poole this year. You all got hurt by Jordan Poole this year, but we'll talk about him. We'll talk about the Washington Wizards, and they are really an interesting team from a fantasy perspective. You know, it's that whole, like, somebody's got to get the stats thing. Are there players who are more than that? Are there players that are going to emerge out of that team? One more time, want to humbly ask you guys to like and subscribe to the show. Please keep sending us feedback. We want to make this interactive, and we're definitely going to see us. You'll see our shining faces at some point, and we're going to be doing live back and forth and all that good stuff when it's more appropriate as we just kind of get into a flow right now. Also, if you're not a premium member, definitely keep an eye out for some of the promos that you're going to be seeing. I just got the NFL draft guide plans. I'll put it to you this way. Are people, they're interested in doing the work behind creating the foundation of a product that has value. You know, there's a lot of stuff you can just get on Twitter for free. You know, there's influencers all over the place. But if you are interested in actual hard work, I've seen it. It looks great. These guys know what they're talking about. I can't wait for the NFL product and then NBA draft guide. And if you can get in on one of these all sport promos where you're just basically paying $7 a month was one of the promos, and you get this price locked in for life. So these products are going to cost probably twice that with inflation and all that good stuff. You know, within the next however many years, you're going to be sitting on a membership that's, you know, crazy priced low. So definitely check out the website for that at sportsethos.com. Steve, before I go, and as I'm rattling off advertisements left and right like a drunken sailor, is there anything else on your mind before we take off?
I saw that Bradley Beal was on your list, and we don't need to get into it, but I'll never draft that guy.
Love it.
Ever.
We could talk all day. One day we should talk about every single fantasy player there is. Let's go 12 hours. 12-hour marathon to like help some children or something. I'm in. Follow Doc at Dr. A, DocTora. Follow myself at Aaron Bruski, AaronBruski, at Sports Ethos, and at Ethos Fantasy NBA. This has been Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online, a Sports Ethos presentation. Till next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.